Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Brian London. He is the editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference. I'll post a link to the New Orleans Investment Conference for everybody who either wants to attend live in person or virtually. It is a hybrid event this year. Brian, let's talk about the markets, because you look on any screen that has an outline of the markets, and quite frankly, you're seeing a lot of positive moves, a lot of green on my screen. U.S. equity markets, those are up, let's say, right around 0.5%. But I know for a lot of our listeners and a lot of your followers, driving down to the precious metals, there's some nice moves here. You look at gold on the futures, that's up about $32. That's almost 2%. Silver is also up nicely. The gold stocks and silver stocks, those are also up. GDX, GDXJ, those are up a little over 3%. SIL, which is the silver miners ETF, that's up about 3.5%. So it is a nice bounce back day. The last couple of days have actually been pretty decent for precious metals, and that's after, man, oh man, a real boring time. Brian, how much of these positive moves for markets and metals are simply coming on the back of that Fed meeting and statement yesterday that really didn't say anything new, but did confirm that the Fed is going to remain easy?
Yeah, I think a lot of it, Corey, and thank you for having me on today. But, you know, before we get into that, don't we really just deserve this? I mean, come on now, after what we've been through.
Yes, we do. We deserve much more of this, though.
There you go. There you go. Nobody's more deserving than us. And yes, it is due to the Fed meeting. And I had been telling my readers in advance of the Fed meeting to look at it as a potential bullish catalyst for the metals. But to be perfectly frank, I had been hoping for some indication that the Fed would come out with some dovish comments and make some concession toward the impact of the spread of the Delta variant and actually give us some more of that monetary adrenaline or hint at it to try and goose the markets. But they didn't do that. They didn't say much at all. They just pretty much said status quo. And apparently that was enough. Apparently there had been some concerns in the markets, at least from the paper gold speculators, that the Fed might actually start to give voice to those trial balloons it had put out about potentially raising rates a couple of years down the line and potentially tapering this fall from its quantitative easing efforts. It didn't have that any such hawkish turn to the comments. Therefore, it removed that perceived risk. And status quo is apparently good enough for the markets to be very bullish on gold. So I may have been a bit wrong in why, but I was fortunately correct in what. And it looks like, gold has obviously rallied a bit, but it's taking out some important moving averages as it does so. Right now, it's a matter of fingers crossed and see if we can put in a few more days of this kind of market action.
Yeah, Brian, it's been interesting in that the market seems to be more excited when the Fed doesn't do anything and they just keep the plan the same as it has been, which is don't take the punch bowl away and keep being monetary injectors of capital. And they didn't indicate that they wanted to hike rates anytime soon. In fact, they reiterated, hey, don't worry, guys. We're not going to hike rates anytime soon. And so that taking that risk off the table gave a boost to a lot of markets. Everything took off right after the Fed meeting, and it's continued into today. So do you think that there will be any momentum in this move? Because as we discussed off mic, a lot of times the markets don't just want the Fed to keep being accommodative. They want them to be ever more accommodative. And yeah, You've made some points to those along those lines in the past. Do you think this is enough, and is it enough to sustain a move, or is it just a little blip on the radar?
Well, it's enough to sustain a short-term move, but eventually, you know, the metaphor of a drug addict is actually perfect for the situation in that the addict develops a tolerance for the drug and needs an ever greater dosage. My point has been that the markets are addicted to this monetary adrenaline that the Fed has been doling out in every economic slowdown, essentially since the early 1980s. And now we're getting just to the point where, you know, the markets actually so addicted and need so much more of the drug that they're passed out on park benches if they don't get it. And it's not just easy money, it is ever easier money. That's the lesson as this trend has accelerated in the last decade or two. We see that everything that we thought would have been crazy before 2008, it's now been accepted, and they've come up with even greater methods of accommodation, greater degrees of accommodation. Everything they did in 2008, they immediately, in this pandemic, did it much more quickly, did it to a greater degree, and came up with, dreamed up new ideas on how to inject monetary stimulus. So yes, eventually the markets will demand something more than what they're getting right now from the Fed. Now, I don't know if that's going to come as a result of some shock that the markets give the Fed whenever the Fed tries to attempt tapering back this tremendously accommodative monetary policies, or whether they're just going to say we want more and out of the blue deliver the Fed a harsh message for more accommodation. But the long-term trend is that we're going to see more and more of what we've seen so far.
So, Brian, is this then all going to lead more investors back into gold, or is it going to lead more investors back into the U.S. equity markets? Because that, unfortunately, has been the trend of the Fed staying relatively status quo, is that money has flown more so into equities, risk-on assets, rather than risk-off assets. That's why we hear a lot from the gold bug community saying we need some kind of a shock to the system to then get that interest back into gold. Something similar like what happened when COVID first hit. Yes, everything got hit hard. Gold stocks came screaming back, but so did equities. What's the balance between what the gold sector needs to finally start outperforming the equities?
Yeah, great point, Corey. I don't think it's an either or situation. I don't think we desperately need a crash in the stock market or any significant correction there. Because if we do get that kind of a situation in the stock market, the Fed's just going to come back in and open up the spigots once again with ever greater liquidity, and the stock market will recover very quickly. I think that trend is also very bullish for gold as we go forward. Let's keep in mind two things, that relative to the stock market, the gold sector is tiny, infinitesimally tiny. And the other thing is that there's plenty of money to go around, lots of liquidity. We see that already finding its way into consumer price inflation and the rest. There's plenty of money available to be allocated to the metals to send them to skyrocketing to record levels. We just need to continue this trend, get past these rough passages where the Fed tends to shift its messaging. And once the market realizes how truly screwed the Fed is, how inescapable this trick box it has found itself, worked its way into is, then we'll see, I think, even greater allocations towards the metals and the mining shares.
Well, Brian, speaking of the mining shares, so when the markets have had a correction like they've had, and I mean the junior miner markets have had a correction like they've had, we haven't seen it reflected as much in GDX or GDXJ. But if you look at from last August to basically we're rolling into August in a week here, in a year, a lot of these stocks are down 30, 50, even 60%, some of the stocks. Mm-hmm. Are you looking at this present level to cherry pick some of them? Are you looking at adding to positions here? What are you advising some of your subscribers to do, considering we've had a pretty healthy pullback, but people are still hesitant to pull the trigger?
Coincidentally, I'm writing our August issue of Gold Newsletter right now. And over the last couple of days, even before the Fed meeting, I started to shift a lot of the companies that I had switched to holds back to buys just because the levels had gotten so low. Again, this is before we had a rebound in the metals. And I had no idea when we would see a rebound in the metals, but they had gotten to such oversold levels that if you're going to try to buy lower and sell higher along a long-term uptrend, then those levels had gotten just irresistibly low, and they represented real bargains over the long term. So I have been switching to a more aggressive attitude. And as you know, I've been very cautious over the last couple of months as we've plumbed these lows in the market. So I think it's a real buying opportunity right now. As you mentioned, the screen is green today, but still we're well below where we were. And Chad, you'd mentioned that it's been a year since we peaked in the market. If you go back, and I feature a chart on this in this month's Gold newsletter, if you look at the real Treasury yield curve, the Treasury yield curve adjusted for inflation, if you look back last August when everything was peaking, much of the Treasury yield curve was actually positive on a real basis. And now we are steeply negative across the entire yield curve. And by steeply negative, I mean negative 3% or more over much of the curve when you factor in the latest CPI numbers. And yet the metals and the mining stocks are at significantly lower levels than they were last August. So the lesson there is it's not the absolute levels, but the trend that really influences gold. And right now, it argues very strongly for a rebound in the metals and the mining stocks.
So, Brian, touching on some of the metal stocks then, yes, we're getting a rebound today and even yesterday, but the trend, which understandably so has scared some investors away, is that even good news has been getting sold off. And we don't see that environment all that much, unfortunately, more during bear markets and simply summer doldrums. This is actually a perfect example of summer doldrums. But how do you go about investing in these stocks at this time when, outside of today and yesterday, good news, even out of companies, has been a selling event?
Yeah, that's an important point, and more important, I think, for the metals than the mining stocks, in that, and really for any investment sector, that when a sector does not move on good news, it's in a bear market, and don't count on a turnaround anytime soon. But when a sector responds to bullishly to even bad or moderate news, then that market is in a bull market. And yes, the metals have not been responding to good news over the last couple of months. They haven't fallen further, but that's not, hope is not a strategy. And refusing to dip further is not necessarily a buying opportunity. What we're seeing now is possibly a buying opportunity in that regard. And I never really look at sentiment for the mining stocks much at all, because that sentiment is changed and is dependent upon sentiment and direction in the metals. And the metals are looking at far larger issues than whether a junior stock was able to raise money or in the market or anything like that. If you have a positive trend in gold and silver, if you have a rally in the metals, then sentiment and the juniors will shift so quickly it'll give you whiplash.
Well, Brian, we are in an interesting time period in that with the sentiment being so low, even if people don't follow sentiment, it's you don't have to go very far to find out how bad it is. It's pretty soured, but it can change on a dime, like we've seen the last couple of days. What we know is that when generalist money comes into the space, it generally lands in the larger producers and the ETFs like GDX, GDXJ, SIL, SILJ. And so some of those mid-tier and larger companies, royalty companies, usually get a bid first. But we're in this weird dynamic in that we had a summer doldrums when the miners, the little explorers, are more cashed up than they've been in a decade. They're doing more drilling than they've done in a decade. There's more assay labs backed up than there's been in a decade. So there's a lot of work going on. What subsectors are you most interested in looking at right now? Is it the producers? Is it the development stage companies, moving along their pipeline of milestones? Or is it the explorers since we're in the middle of the drill season and the drills are turning? Which area has you most animated right now?
It's been the explorers, precisely because we haven't had an uptrend in the metals. If we do have a sustained uptrend in gold and silver, then I'll be moving more into back into the optionality plays and early stage or small stage producers, even mid-tier producers. But it's been the expiration stocks. And for right now, until we see where this rally goes, I think I would stick to that, at least as an emphasis. There's a lot, as you mentioned, a lot of work being done and a lot of news starting to flow. And well-positioned companies that are getting that news flow started are great places to look, in my opinion.
All right, Brian, we're going to wrap it up here. Again, an encouraging day for metals investors. Still a ways to go to the upside, but as long as there can be some sort of short-term uptrend here and maybe take out some of those resistance levels, then we could start to see some investors come back in. But remember, we are still in the middle of summer trading, so let's see where the markets and the metals go from here. Brian, great chatting with you, buddy. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.